My name's Len Kellett. Born in 1935, I'm the son of Walter Kellett and Winifred Kellett Nee Foster. My father, he was a miner. He was born in Unslet. His father was a boilermaker at Unslet Engine Company. And later on in life, he became a knocker-up, going round with the tapper, the window tapper, getting people out of bed in time to go to work. My father, when he was old enough, he came out of the mine and, slightly underage, signed for the Border Regiment in the First World War and went off to France. He was in the Ypres area fighting with the Border Regiment. I think it was the 8th Battalion that he was in. He was all around that area for the 2 years, and he was one of the lucky ones that came home again. He didn't talk a lot about the First World War, like a lot of the First World War vets didn't talk about it. But I know there was a slight gassing, being gassed or slightly gassed, you know. So sometimes he had a little bit of problem with coughing, like, and things like that. But it didn't get him down or nothing like that. And when he came back from there, he went back down the mine as a collier.
Do you know which pit he worked at then in that period?
I think it might have been Middleton, because that would be the nearest one to where he lived. If it had been Middleton or Roth, I can only remember him personally working at the Water Egg. And he stayed with the army in the Territorial Army, whereby they were training, you know, and going off doing camps and things like that. My mother came from, we call it Thwaite Gate. I only ever heard them talk about a father who was called Foster, Harry Foster. He was a Scotsman. I don't really know what he did for his work, but that's my mum was brought up along with three other sisters and a brother called Harry. My father, he had been married and his wife had died. So my mother was his second wife. From his first marriage, he had two daughters, which is my eldest sister, Henrietta, Hetty, and her younger sister, Doris. Now, they must have come to Alton because he was working at the Water Egg. They took lodgings when they first came here, and they lodged with the Cornish family. From that, they got the house on Greenlee. Mr and Mrs Cornish lived on Greenlee at that particular time.
Did your dad tell you much about what he did at Water Egg?
He was a collier, and he was also in the TA. He kept the TA going. He was in the unit here in Woodlesford, and he was a battery sergeant. And when the call-up came for them to march off and go to war, he went with them. Some of the people that he worked with were actually in the TA at the local unit. There was the Campbell brothers. I know Archie was a good friend of my father's. The bond that the people had in the TA unit with the being local people was my father was older than them. They were a young outfit, you know, and he was older, so they called him Father. That was his nickname, like, they called him Father. Georgie Biggs was there, Archie Campbell was there, I think his brother Jackie was there, and there was Mr Cowling, who lived down Midland Street. He was the regimental sergeant major for them. I think Jackie Campbell may have been either a staff sergeant or a sergeant major, a battery sergeant major, you know, something like that. And my dad was a battery sergeant. Hetty and Doris stayed in Hunslet with my grandma, and they literally lived there and worked there because they were working there. Mother and father came to Alton because he was working at the Water Egg. Audrey, my elder sister, was the first girl born to my mother. I came next. I was the... We can put it this way. Audrey and I were pre-war. David and Graham were post-war. The war interfered with family life. My earliest memories of Greenlee is playing cricket on one of the little inter-roads between the greens. Maybe 3 or 4 year old. I can remember holding a bat that was too big for me and somebody throwing a ball at me. That's one of the first things I can remember. I can also remember going to visit my father when he was on camp with the TA, when they'd gone, you know, to a camp, whether they'd gone to Scarborough or somewhere like that. They always seemed to go to the coastal side. And he also did another job for the army. There's a Royal Artillery camp in South Wales at a place called Manabir. And he went down there and set up the gun sights for that particular battery.
It sounds like the army was a very big thing for you.
It was a big thing for me, Dad. And when the unit was mobilised, off they went to North Africa. And, I mean, we could get him to talk about North Africa. First World War, nothing. Second World War, as much as you want.
And can you remember the start of the Second World War?
Yes. I can remember them marching past the barracks, the unit. They marched past the barracks and they were gone. When you talk about what's the first things that you can remember, well, one of the things that sticks out in my mind is when the battery, the unit, were making the march past the drill hall, I said to my mother were holding my hand, and I said, "Oh, look, Mum, everybody's out of step except me dad," and which I've been, had my leg pulled about that all my life from my family.
In other words, he was the one out of step.
but he was a sergeant, so he couldn't be out of step. The number of times I've had my leg pulled about that, oh dear. And next time I saw my dad, he was in an army camp in Nostrup, at the side of, you know, the down the Black Road, going past Temple Newsham. He was in a camp there. And we saw him a few times, not many times. And then I didn't know, I've been small, but for some reason we had to go up to Addle Moor, this particular Sunday. And when we got there, it was the last time we were going to see him, because the whole unit was going. They was mobilised to go to North Africa. When they sailed off, they had a parade in London before they went. And my father, because he'd been in the First World War, had his medal ribbons on his battle blouse. The King, King George VI, said, "Are those your father's, son?" And he said, "No, sir, they're mine." And he was quite chuffed about that, like, you know. And when they went to North Africa, they went right round the whole of Africa to get away from the submarines and everything. And they put in at Durban. They had an overnight stay at Durban. Then they went up to Aqaba, where they offloaded at Aqaba. And from there, they were all over. They were in Sidi Bish, Sidi Barani, Tobruk, Cairo, Ismailia, the big one at Alamein. They were up and down. They were either chasing Jerry or Jerry were chasing them. But he never got captured. But it was a tough one. It wasn't an easy one.
And did he stay with lads from Alton and Woodlesford all the way through?
No, there was a... I don't know which battle it was, whether it were Alamein or whatever. But there was an explosion. Some of the men in his area were killed. All he got were a cut nose. And it was a bad one, like, you know, but... And he had to go in hospital to have it fixed, like. And either my sister or my nephew, who is the guardian for my dad's medals, has got a letter from his CO saying how sorry they were to lose him. Because he then, with him being... Maybe the age factor came in to the fact he was too old to go to Italy. And he was transferred as a regimental sergeant in an Italian prisoner of war camp. As far as I know, it was in Ismailia. Years later, I worked in Egypt for 2.5 years. And I worked in Ismailia. And some of the people that in this workshop that worked for me knew about the prisoner of war camp, the Italian prisoners of war. I can distinctly remember them marching off and him going away. And I can remember him coming back. We got a letter saying that it was coming. He was being demobbed and he was coming. And this was in July. And we'd had one of the men off the green, Mr. Betney, who'd been, I think he'd been a prisoner of war with the army. And we hung bunting all over the place and welcome home and all that, you know. Somebody said, I think it'd be maybe 2 days or the day before, my father and my mother must have mentioned the fact that, Walt's coming up. Whoa, everybody started putting bunting up and everything, well, and it was very, very windy when he came home. Some of it had been blown down, but a lot of it was there, and he was very impressed with it, you know, when it said, "Welcome home, Walter."
And that would be 1945, then?
That was 1945.
And do you remember the actual day itself when he came back?
I was in bed. I was asleep. It was evening time, you know, late evening time. And I can remember, I don't know if it was Aunt Audrey or my mother, shook me and said, "Len, your dad's home." Woo! So we flew downstairs, like, you know. And there he was. And I hadn't seen him for 6 years. I mean, I know this modern day, they go away for 6 months and a time, like. But 6 years is a long time. I mean, 6 years, 6 months is I know it's dangerous. I don't take that away from anybody. But we had 6 years of waiting.
Did he then stay doing territorial things after the Second World War?
I don't know if he was a storeman or something at the barracks, and there was a Sergeant Major Paulson was in charge there then. And I know my dad was doing things around there because they had a social evening at the weekend. They used to sing and everything, like, you know, different members of the audience would get up and have a sing, like, you know, and thing. Like, remember Charlie's father, Frank, sung a couple of naughty ones. Not dirty, naughty. You know, and I can remember my dad getting up and singing, "I Ain't Half Fond of My Old Dutch," something like that, you know. And there were good nights for us because we could play out in the big barrack hall. Did you know there was a big barrack hall inside? Yeah. Used to hold dancers there. Used to go dancing.
Can I just ask about your dad? After the war, he came back and he went back to Waterhay. Yeah. Did he stay there all till he retired?
After he'd finished with the army and all that, then he went back to the Waterhay and he stayed there till he retired. The last 13, 14 years, he was the night farrier with the ponies. He looked after the ponies. That was his job. Underground, yeah.
Shoeing them and everything.
Yeah, and he loved it. That was his job, like, you
know. Right. And I presume he helped bring them out then when they came out in the
summer. Oh, summer, fortnight's holiday, when it was the Collier's fortnight. Up they came and into the field, which is behind, you know, the houses behind the picture house, them terrace houses there. When you go towards Fleet Lane, there was a back road there. Well, the low side of it was a huge field, and they used to go in there. Now, catching them to take them back down again after. Oh,
that was his job, wasn't
it? That was his job, yeah. And it used to take them days to get them down again. But eventually, the one, always the same one, was always about 12 or 13, 14 days after, a couple of weeks after, that he finally went down.
Where did he end up living? Did he stay on Greenlee?
No. When we were living on Greenlee, and he was with the barracks and that, like, it was okay. But when he got back, had to go back to the pit, like, then we swapped houses with a family that were living in Airedale Terrace, number 8. We went to live down there and they moved up into number 8 Greenlee.
We haven't talked much about your mum. She was a housewife and then she worked a bit during the war, you said?
Yeah, she worked at the blanket mill in Unslet. Unslet.
Did she go back to work then after the war?
She did work for a while at Ardath, cigarette manufacturing, in Unslet, all in Unslet. She cleaned for a doctor up Oaten Lane.
What was their social life then in the 50s?
Well, they would go to the book, the White Hart, or Tetley's Beer. And my dad liked Tetley's. They would have a night out together. And my father, when he was working regular nights and they were living down in the Airedales, he used to walk up to the book at lunchtime because you can't sleep all day, you know. He'd have a break, go up to the book with his pal.
But your dad, he wasn't a big boozer then, by the sound of it. He wasn't...
He liked his pine.
Yeah.
When he was younger. When he was older, he didn't drink nowhere near as much when he was older, like, you know. Can I tell you a story? When I was in the art, I'd never been in a pub in my life. Football was top of the tree for me. And I went in the army and I came home on leave. And I said, "Dad, can I go out for a pint with you?" So he took me up to the book and I said to him, what do I have? He says, "Well, there's mild and there's bitter and there's what." So I said to him, "I'll have half a mild." He says, "You'll have a pint and like it. I'm not going to bar and asking for half." So I had a pint of mild. That was my first foray into beer drinking.
He must have been very proud of you.
I don't know. I like to think that he was. I like to think that he was, you know, because when he saw me, he sort of, you know, that was. Because I was the wanderer. I've worked and lived in South Africa. I worked in the Middle East, construction of oil refineries, power stations. Yeah, all top grade stuff, all X-rayed work and everything.